We're going to just look at one verse this morning, one of the most wonderful verses in the Old Testament. A verse that rivals John 3:16 in the New Testament. You say, preacher, I don't know if I've ever read this verse before. I'm sure I have because I've read through the Bible. But what do you mean this verse rivals John 3:16? Well, once we get through this morning, I hope you'll leave this place understanding why I would make a statement like that. And we read it, but I want to read it again. 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 14, where the Bible says, "For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again." You know, when you spill water on the ground, you can't pick it back up and put it in the cup. "Neither doth God respect any person." And here's the phrase. "Yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him." I want to tell you the story, quickly tell you the story behind this verse, and then I want to say four things about it. This verse takes place in the story of Absalom. Absalom was one of David's sons, and he committed an act of revenge. His half-brother, Amnon, had raped his sister, Tamar. And Absalom let a couple years pass. But at the end of a couple years, he rose up and he killed his half-brother, Amnon. He fled and he went to his grandfather. His grandfather was the king of Geshur, his mother's father. And he was there in exile for 3 years. Now, his father, David, loved Absalom. And he wanted to bring him back. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 37, "And David mourned for his son every day." He missed Absalom and mourned for him every day. In 2 Samuel 13, 39, "And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom." In 2 Samuel 14, verse 1, "The king's heart was toward Absalom." And so he loved his son. He wanted to bring him home. He wanted to restore the fellowship that should exist between a father and a son. But here was the problem. He did not have a way for Absalom to pay for his sin. He did not know the punishment that could be meted out. He did not have a way to bring this one that had been banished back to him. Now, David had a general named Joab. Joab knew David. He knew David's heart. He knew Joab. He knew David wanted to bring Absalom back. So Joab devised a scheme. He got a lady to come and tell David a story. Here was the story. She came to the king and says, "King, I have two sons. One of them killed the other one. One of my sons committed murder. He murdered his brother. And now my family wants me to punish the son that was the murderer. They want me to kill my other son. They want him to pay the price for murder. I'm coming to you on behalf of my son, hoping I can get a pardon from you, hoping that you will protect the one son, the only son that I have left." David thought about it for a while and says, "I'll do that. I will give your son a pardon. I won't let your family kill your son." And then here's what the lady says to him. "You speak that judgment as one who has a fault, because you have not brought home your banished son. Your banished son is still banished. Your banished son is still living in a foreign land. If you would actually do what for yourself, what you say you will do for me, you would bring Absalom home. Oh, and by the way, David," and I don't know if this lady knew this or not, but you know, we read the Bible and we know David was a man after God's own heart. And so I don't know if she knew it or not, but if she knew it, here's what she said. "Hey, David, you're supposed to be a man after God's own heart. I want to tell you something. God has devised a means so that his banished will not be expelled from him. You haven't followed his example. You've left your banished banished. Your son is still expelled from you. That's not how God works. God has devised a means to bring his banished home, to bring his banished back. That's the story. Now I want to say quickly four things about it. I want to say, number one, I want you to notice who the banished were. The banished in this verse was Absalom. He had committed the sin of murder. I think he had good cause. His half-brother raped his sister. And yet, he committed that crime, and he ran. He was banished from the kingdom. He had committed a crime. You know, when we think of the word banished, our thoughts immediately go back to Adam and Eve. They were created by God, placed in the Garden of Eden, given only one requirement, one rule, one boundary not to cross. God said you can have anything in the garden except the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That tree belongs to me. The day that you eat of it, you will die. You know the story? Satan, in the form of a snake, came and tempted Eve. Eve ate the fruit. She gave it to Adam. He ate the fruit. And they were kicked out of the garden. They were banished from the garden. That's what the word banished means. It means forced to leave a place, driven away, expelled. That's what Adam and Eve, they were banished by God because of their sin. And I want to remind you this morning, when Adam and Eve were banished, all of mankind fell and were banished with them. The human race was all in Adam when that happened. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In Romans 5, 19, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Every one of us, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, because of sin, has been banished from God. We were driven out from his presence. That's what the wages of sin is, death. Not physical death, as Ryan experienced this week in the loss of his brother, but spiritual death. Death, separation from our Creator, separation from our God. The Bible says all of us have sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. And again, you may think you're a pretty good person, and I think there's some pretty good people in this place. But the Bible says don't compare yourself to another person. We can always find somebody worse than we are, amen? I mean, we can always find a worse sinner than we will admit to be. But God says, don't compare yourself to somebody else. Compare yourself to my glory. Compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you'll see that you come up far short. Far short. And because of that sin, God pushed us off. He expelled us from his presence. He banished us. And just like David did, God had a longing to bring us back home, to bring us back to him. But God did something that David did not do. David did not have a plan to bring Absalom back. But this verse says that my God and your God devised a means that the banished would not be expelled from him. That's the second thing I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about that devised means. That word devised from the Hebrew means to think, to plan. It's a mental process where some course of action is planned or conceived. It's the same word that Joseph used in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, when he said, hey, when he said to his brothers, you did not send me to Egypt. God sent me to Egypt. It was his devised means to save us and to save the world. And so the devised means is a plan thought out by God. It also means a plan with a cost. It has arithmetic part of it. It means to count the cost. You know, sometimes we think it costs, there's a cost to be a Christian. Some people think that if they become a Christian, they got to give up so many things, that there's a high cost for being a Christian. I want to tell you, I agree with Paul. Anything that I've had to give up to be a Christian is just like dung in the garbage heap. Anything that I've had to give up has been far, far, far shorter than what I have gained in Christ. does not cost us anything to be a Christian, but it cost God a lot. Because the Bible says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ." And so when that verse says that God has devised a means, what it means is he has come up with a plan, a costly plan, to bring his banished home. Now, that's all of us. We were banished because of our sin. We were separated, driven out, pushed off from God because of our sin. And I'm glad we didn't have to depend on David, because David didn't come up with a plan for Absalom. I'm glad that we got a God that devised a means so the banished could come home. You say, what does that means involve? I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you. That means devised involves Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 3:18, the Bible says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." In John chapter 14, verse 6, the Bible says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If Jesus doesn't bring you, you ain't coming. Because without Jesus Christ, you cannot get to God. And so the devised means, the costly plan that God came up with to bring the banished home, involves Jesus Christ. The devised means also involves the cross. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 32, "And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Where do we see the stark truth that the wages of sin is death? I submit to you this morning, we see it most plainly at the cross of Calvary. Where do we see how much God hates sin? I submit to you this morning that we see it most plainly at the cross of Calvary. Where do we see the price that must be paid for our sins? We see it at Calvary. Where do we see what banishment from God really means? I want to tell you, I think we see it at Calvary. Because on Calvary, when God laid on his son all of our sins, and because of that, he had to turn his back on his only son. Jesus hung on that cross and he cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That's where we see what banishment is all about. When we see the Savior, when we see the only begotten Son of God, when we see somebody that from all eternity existed at one with the Father, see his Father turn his back on his Son, push him away from himself, expel him from his presence. That's where we understand more clearly, I think, than any place else in the Bible, what it means to be banished from God. And so the means devised, it includes Jesus. It involves the cross. It also involves the Holy Spirit. Because you see, it's the Holy Spirit of God that convicts us of our sin. It's the Holy Spirit of God that woos us to the Savior. The Bible says in John chapter 16, verse 18, "The Holy Spirit was sent to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment." You see, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit is at work at your heart right now. That Holy Spirit is that still small voice that speaks to your heart, speaks to your mind, that says, "Hey, what that leather lung preacher is talking about is true. It's true. You've been banished from God. You've been pushed away from God. You've been expelled from God because of your sin. But God loved you so much that he didn't leave you in that condition. He wasn't like David. He came up with a plan that you could be brought back home." And as I speak, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And that still small voice says, "You need Jesus Christ. You need to come to the Savior. You have no hope for heaven apart from the one who died on Calvary's cross. You have no hope. It's not of works, lest any man should boast." You can't pay money for it. You can't act good enough to get it. It's only through Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is at work in your life right now, telling you that you need Jesus Christ. For we must needs die, and there as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither does God respect any person, yet he doth devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. The banished are all of us. Our sin causes God to push us away from him. He has devised a means to bring us home. And that means involves Christ, the cross, and the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice number three, those that are included. That first verse says, neither doth God respect any person. What that phrase means is the plan, the means that he devised is for everybody. It means you don't have to have a title. You don't have to have riches. You don't have to have a reputation. You don't have to have a good name. The devised means includes everybody. Acts 10:34 says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. It means he loves everybody the same. It means God doesn't have favorites. It means he loves the worst sinner as much as he does the best sinner. He doesn't have any respect of persons. You don't have to have a title. You don't have to have a good name. That verse goes on to say, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. That's why Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord's not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that any should perish. God's not willing that anybody go to hell. God's not willing that anybody live in eternal banishment from him. But that all should come to repentance. And then quickly, I want you to notice number four, why you should accept the devised means. Why, if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ, why you should receive him this morning. That verse says, for we must needs die. For we must needs die. I've heard people say, there are two things that are certain. Death and taxes. Well, I don't know about taxes. Of course, there are some people that have figured out how not to pay any. But I know about death. I know death loses nobody. There are only two people that have ever lived in all of history that have not died. One was Enoch, a man who walked with God for 300 years. And the Bible says he was not, for God took him. The other was Elijah, that prophet who stood upon Mount Carmel and called down fire from heaven to prove to the people who was truly God. Enoch and Elijah. Now, if you think this morning that you can measure up to those two men, if you think you can be a person like Enoch who walks with God, or if you think you can be a person like Elijah who can call down fire from heaven to prove who is God, then I don't guess you need to worry about what I'm about to say. But if you're honest with yourself and understand that you won't measure up to Enoch and you won't measure up to Elijah, you need to pay attention to what I'm about to say. Every single one of us, if the Lord tarries, is going to die. Our heart's going to stop beating. Our lungs are going to stop expanding and taking in air. Our brain is going to cease to exist. We're going to die. And we're going to stand before God. And God's going to look in a book. It's called the Book of Life. And in that book are listed the names of those that have taken him up on the devised means. In that book are listed the names of those who have received Jesus Christ as their Savior. If your name is not in that book, God's going to say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." And you will go to hell. I wish I could sugarcoat it and make it better, but I can't and stay true to the Bible. If a person dies without Jesus Christ, they immediately go to hell. Luke chapter 16, the rich man, he died, and the Bible says he lifted up his eyes in hell, burning in the fires of hell. You see, if you don't accept the means that God devised, if you don't come to Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior, you're going to die. You're going to die physically, and you're going to die spiritually. You're going to be separated from God forever. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." James 1:5, "Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Hebrews 9:27, "And as is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." And we're going to be judged. We're going to be judged for what we did with Jesus Christ. We're going to be judged. Did we receive him or did we reject him? And that verse goes on to say, hey, we all must needs die. And we're like water spilt on the ground that can't be taken up again. You know what that verse means? That part of the verse means? It means God ain't going to change his mind. Once you die, you don't have another chance. Once you die physically, your chances to receive Jesus Christ are over. It's like water spilt on the ground. When you spill water on the ground, you can't pick it back up and put it in a cup. It's gone. In the same way, when we die, we have no hope to come to Jesus. There is no second chance. There is no purgatory that somebody can pray or pay us out of. We are as water spilt out on the ground. And so this morning, I urge you, this may be the first time you're here, or you may have been here 100 times. I urge you this morning, if you ever never have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to take him this morning. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, the Bible says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die?" God says, why will you die? Why will you go to an eternity apart from me? I have devised the means where the banished can come home. I have devised the means to bring you back to myself. I have sent my son to die in your place on Calvary's cross. All you have to do is take him. Take him. Take him. The Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." He'll do that for you this morning. If you receive him, he'll give you the power to become one of his sons, to become part of his family, to have your sins forgiven, to be banished no more, to come home to the one who made you, the one who wants a relationship with you forever and ever and ever and ever. Would you do that this morning? If you're here and you've never received Christ, would you do that this morning? If you're here, and I know most of us are Christians here this morning, I can get as excited about reading this verse as I can John 3:16. Because my God didn't leave me banished. He devised means so that I could come home. I claim that means. I claimed it. It's mine. I'm banished no more. I'm a child of the King. Because of what Jesus Christ did for me, He'll do the same thing for you. Would you come this morning? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the precious, precious promises like that are in a verse like this that remind us how much you love us. And you made a plan for us to be banished no more. You made a plan for us to come home. And I pray for those who have never made the decision to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Help them understand this morning, Holy Spirit, that they are a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is to be separated from the God who made them. And the only way they can overcome that separation is to come to Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by Him. So help them give up the things that they're depending on. Help them give up their good works. Help them give up their church membership. Help them give up whatever they're depending on. Help them this morning come to Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for the Christians here that will leave this place rejoicing this morning because we've been reminded about a God who loves us and a God who brought us home. Father, just bless this invitation. Holy Spirit, work. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.